this body is a joy. And let's find activities that, yeah, it's not going to be easy, and you sort of take a lot of repetition, I got to get out and do this, but do it because of the joy of what you're doing. So you got to find an activity that you could find joy in it. And there are hundreds of thousands of things you can do.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Vandal Theory, a podcast about science and research at the University of Idaho. My name is Danae Lenz, the External Communications Coordinator at U of I, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Lee Cooper.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Cooper. I am the science writer and editor here at U of I.
How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. Ready to get going.
Today we're going to talk about learning to love running. So I have a very simple question for you today. How do you feel about running?
I wish I loved running. I've never loved running. It would be so much easier to love running because it's a great way to, you know, squish a workout into a shorter period of time. But I have only ever engaged in running because I found it a necessity for my schedule. And I mean, there are a few times in life where I've gone on a run and I didn't hate it. And I've done races before and I've done mud runs, which, you know, I love the obstacles, but I didn't love running from obstacle to obstacle. I'm much more of a hiker and a walker. So, like, that makes me much happier than running. Yeah. Not a runner.
I am also not a runner, and I gave it a good hard try for like a month one time. And even when I got to the point where I could run a mile without feeling like I was dying, I still didn't like it.
Yeah, it has just never been a sport that I truly enjoyed doing.
Well, today we're going to talk to someone who can maybe help us out. We're going to talk to Sharon Stahl. She's the director for the Center of Ethics at University of Idaho, and a leading authority in competitive moral education intervention techniques for college-age students in America. She has worked with many well-known organizations, including the U.S. military. And today, she's going to discuss moral development in athletes and whether it's possible to learn to love running. You ready to dive into it?
I'll lace up my shoes.
That was good. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Of course. I know you have an expansive resume that's hard to sum up, but can you briefly explain who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm a professor at the University of Idaho in the Center for Ethics, and my research specifically is about helping any organization that has a value-directed mission lying within the notion of character, responsibility, truth, justice, and so forth. So in order to be involved in that, I'm actually a pedagogist. I'm actually a teacher. I'm not an ethicist in the sense of writing ethical frameworks for people or deciding what their ethics should be. Rather, we ask the mission of what that institution has, and then we work on developing a pedagogical technique that will help them accomplish what they say they believe. We started out many years ago working with athletes, but we have migrated into any competitive organization that has a mission like that. So that's why we ended up with the military, with the CIA, with law, with the NC2A, any organization like that. So that's what we do. That's what we do.
Awesome. So you have a story about how you got into your line of work. Can you share what that experience was?
I had a graduate student, you know, who was taking a research class from me, and she had wanted to do her doctorate with me. And she asked me one day, she said, "Dr. Stahl, you've done all this work and you've been an athlete, you've been a coach. Are athletes as morally developed as a normal population?" And being an athlete, former professional skater, and being a coach from little people all the way through college, my gut reaction was, yes, sport builds character, most certainly. And then she said, what do you know about moral development? Well, I have a degree in history and philosophy of sport, and I have 48 graduate hours at Kent State University in philosophy and ethics, but I never took a class in moral development. And I wasn't even quite sure what it was. And I said, I don't know a lot about moral development, the study of it. And she said, would you read what I bring you? Because I think I would like to study this. And I said, Chung-hae, you bring whatever you think I should read. And that was a really stupid thing to do, because she literally brought me a box of books and journal articles. And then she went off to Korea, and she said, I will talk to you when I get back. 3 months later, she showed up, and I got through that box of books, and she walked in, and she said, Dr. Stahl, are athletes as morally developed as a normal population? I said, I don't think so. Because what we do in athletics is trying to gain advantage. That's what we do. Always about gaining advantage. And we figure out ways to do that because we are smart little buggers. And we figure out how to get around rules and how to gain advantage. And so Chung-hae's question verified what I probably knew in my heart of hearts. We really don't build character like we say we do in a moral sense. So that's how we get started. That just one little question did it all.
So you're saying that there's nothing inherent about sports that will develop character and morality on its own?
No. What I'm saying, it has to be intentionally taught. What we teach is winning. We teach whatever we got to do to win. And I'm not saying winning is wrong, because if you don't want to win, then you shouldn't be in the business at all, because that's what it's all about. But it's what we're willing to do to win. We say that sport builds character, and we argue that children should be involved in sport because of all the inherent qualities that we say we do. But we really don't do what we say we do. But we have pushed this forever, that just bouncing a ball will develop your character, and that's not true. It won't develop your character. It might help develop things like hard work and dedication, intensity, sacrifice, teamwork. But it will not develop moral character unless it is intentionally taught.
Fascinating. So the big reason why you're here today, what we're going to talk about today, is some research that your graduate students have done. Can you explain what it is that they've been working on?
All right. So in the Center for Ethics, we've had 49 doctoral students. And when they come to work with me, they need to have an idea where they want to go, because research is hard and it's got to be something you believe in and you're passionate about. I do not tell graduate students, this is what you're going to study. I don't do that. We spend much time in reading and thought about what is sport, why do we participate, why are we here, what's the whole big picture behind what we do. And most everyone, not all people, but most everyone who comes to me has a sport background or a competitive background. And so they have an idea what they want to do. So I have two doc students right now who are runners. One is a professional runner. And then I have another young man who is a coach and has been running all of his life. And they came to me and they start talking about the notion that we teach running through a very objective viewpoint. It's all about times, efficiency, effectiveness. If we really believe in sport and we believe in the activity of sport, there should be an inherent value that's important for the individual. We should love that activity. If we don't, we become one more object within the object of what's being taught. We're one more object about the win. Are they ready to play today? Does not ask me about my soul or my disposition of life. It means, am I maturely ready? Are my motor skills where it's supposed to be? Am I physically fit? Therefore, I, as that runner, become one more piece, one more part of the objective end goal. This is why people burn out. This is why people can't do the activity. Saying things like, overcome the burn, beat the burn, be tough, objectify it all, Doing that is why people don't stay with it. Instead, we should say, not I have to go run, but I get to go run. One of my doc students wrote a beautiful paper on her love affair with her shoes. And that love affair is what kept her going. She talked about coming home at night and opened the door and her running shoes were greeting her. Just think about how positive that is. Her running shoes were greeting her. And she and her shoes went for a run. The power of that. I had another doc student talk about how uniforms beckon us to play. And she did her whole doctoral dissertation on uniforms and the aesthetic experience of play. Beautiful piece of work. So when my two doc students are distance runners, these are people that just run, 50 miles a week. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. But I understand what it's like when I go to an ice arena. I was at United States Military Academy for a year working with them, and they had an ice arena. I hadn't been on ice for years. And I went to Holland Arena and walked in and laid down on the ice, had cried. It was so beautiful, that activity. I could hardly wait to get out there. It's a love affair. And let me tell you, I was not this perfect ice skater. I bloodied the body many times and broke bones and whatever. But I loved it, loved the activity. So one of my two doc students who got into this, both of them are damaged from the objective perspective of how we teach running. They were damaged. And they were not having a great experience. And they had long-term injuries that kept returning and returning again. And one of the things we know from psychology of sport is that overuse and the psychology of it all has an effect on the body, that subjectification. And both of them healed themselves through finding the love of running. One of the doc students, Sam Lewis, is actually working on doing podcasts and education for coaches to help them be able to talk about the joy of running, the love of running, rather than objectification. And the second doc student, Nathan Stark, is actually working on the spiritual nature of running. How joy and the astral experience brings oneself and body to a spiritual high, and how that is so important to the development of the self. All of our work is focused on that individual and trying to help the individual become a better person through the joy of activity, through the moral aspects of activity, and understanding why we're really there and what it's all about.
So, how do you get past doing a sport for competitive reasons or solely competitive reasons and learn to love it on a different, more long-term level?
Well, it doesn't come just because I'm talking to you today. It doesn't come from a podcast. It might spirit you into thinking about it. It takes time. And you have to remember that our two doc students, they are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they've been running since the time they were 6 or 7. And they have been part of that objective world for 20 years. It just doesn't one day happen. As in all types of things that are meditative, it takes time sitting back. Reading about it is really important there. And there are beautiful pieces that have been written from the beginning of time on exercise from this perspective. This isn't something new. It isn't like, oh, the Center of Ethics has just created this whole novel thing. No, there's much that has been written about it, and reading about other people's stories of coming through the objective and coming out of it and coming into the joy of it helps a great deal. Reflection is very important. It's like a meditative piece. So you take what you're reading and consider it in relationship to your own story and tell others your story by writing about it. So it's reading, reflection and writing, and then others relate to the writing, and then you start again, reading, reflection, writing. This continual pattern. Both of the doc students I just mentioned are up here every day in the quiet, reading every day. And then they'll ask a question and we'll start talking. Then they go back to their reading in the quiet, getting away from everything. And that's one of the big important parts of meditation, is being silent, being away from the noise. Sam, in her master's program, is where she started the healing. And she still, to this day, talks about, you know, the devil of the numbers. Her sport is all about numbers. And it's not something you just put away because you live with it. But it takes time. I wish I could say that we'll give you a book and we'll fix everything for you right away. But we can't. It's a process. As in all things that are meditative and reflective, it takes time.
So it sounds like it's a really personal process. But is this something where it would be helpful if you had a mentor to kind of help you through?
I think so. I don't know that any of us ever got to where we are by being on our own. I suppose it's possible. A couple of the people we read actually went into monasteries, and that's the quietness and the reflection on self. So, yeah, I think you need a mentor because of all the noise, because of everything you do in sport is competitive. And I coached for a number of years at both high school level and won a state championship. And then I coached with one of the world's greatest gymnastics coaches at Kent State, Rudy Bachman, who's an Olympian coach. And I never once ever talked about this with any of my athletes because it was all so focused. I got out because I became so objective. I realized the path I was going and I got out. I walked away from coaching because I couldn't deal with the demons myself. I had to get away. And so I did. I walked away and went back and did my doctorate and focused on the history and philosophy, as I said, which was very reflective. So I came to the value structures through there. The moral development stuff came differently. It takes time. And you do have to have a mentor, and you have to place yourself in that perspective of taking time, the reflection, and the process. I don't know of any other process than one we do. I don't know how else you can get there. I mean, all the literature I've read, and I also have an undergraduate emphasis in religion. I just don't think you can get there without the reading, reflection, writing. I don't think you can get there without it, because those pieces are such an important part. And in very important about the mentoring is somebody's got to read this stuff, and there has to be a discussion. And the reading has to be from an individual who has an idea of the meaningfulness of what you're doing. So I don't know that it's possible to do it without that specific process.
When this research was first presented to me, it was presented as learning to love running, which that is part of what it is. But I thought that maybe there was hope for me as someone who really wants to enjoy running but doesn't. So is there any hope for me, or do you have to have a base level of enjoyment of something to get to the spot where you really love it?
Well, I'm not quite sure you do something you don't like. Well, there has to be that joy. My doctoral student, Karen Rickel, who's now the chair of exercise science at Gonzaga University, when she talked about the love of those shoes, I mean, she had a good experience at some time, right? Sometime that there was this joy. I just to give you perspective, I decided one year to find that joy in running, okay? So I trained for a whole year with a trainer who was a runner, a very good runner. And I never liked it. I never liked the activity. I did it. And I trained for a race, and I did it. And I won the race, but only because there was nobody else in my age group. But I won the race. And my trainer, who was training me, was in the same race, but he did a 5 mile while I did a 1 mile. He got back before I got the 1 mile done. And I retired that day. Not only do I not like it, I'm not any good at it. And I'm not built for this. So if you really don't like it, I don't know that you're going to overcome the torture of it. We go around, we do these conferences and whatnot on finding the love of running or teaching the love of running. And it gets picked up every time. Every time we put it out there, people say, oh, please come and tell me how I can love running. And I always get up as the naysayer and say, everybody, you need to find something that you actually like. Not that it's pure torture and you don't like it. And standing there beside these two tall, beautiful young people have legs up to wherever, and they stride out and whatever. And there I am, a short, dumpy little person. It's like, I do things really good that are close to the ground, not things where you got to be lanky and whatever. So it always gets a chuckle from the crowd that, you know, I just can't do that. There's a limitation of your own physiological anatomical nature. Not everybody can be a runner. And that has a lot to do with the line of the body. I don't have this long linear body that they have. I'm built like a woman, and a little bit heavier, and I got some, you know, some things going on. So my center of gravity is much lower. And in the sports that I competed in, that was really important. In skating, a lower center of gravity is stability. I wasn't a figure skater jumped in the air. I was a figure skater that skated close to the ground. I was a dance skater. And in that thing, you're lower to the ground. The stability is terribly important, low. Whereas in their sport, I mean, they're just beautiful. Just stride out there. And you watch them, and you know that they are not under stress. When you watch me run, you're going to know this person is not doing well with this. But I believe that there's a sport for every person. I would suggest that you find something that maybe you would like, that's maybe more of a community, maybe a dance class, maybe an activity where there's other people and music, so that there's a, not a diversion, but a community of joy, rather than going out like I did. That was the worst, horrible year I ever did. It was, and I ran every day. It was like, this has got to get better, and it never did. So it's probably, maybe it's a cultural thing, but I think it's also a bodily thing. So I'm sorry, I can't give you any great advice on this one.
Dang it, I was really hoping. Okay, so we've touched on it a little bit, but can you just summarize why you think changing people's mindsets when it comes to the joy of sports is so important?
They won't stay with it. As you well know, our society is struggling with diseases of inactivity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, cardiovascular disease. We are a society of inactivity, and once we pass the young years where there's no more sport, we don't go out and do it anymore because we can't replicate it. And life gets in the way, and we sit an awful lot, way too much, and we're not active enough. And so our society is reeling from this. Our healthcare systems are under stress because we can't attend all the people who have so many of the inactivity diseases that we have. And I would argue that part of that has to do with how we've taught it. We have taught it as an objective marker. Exercise because it keeps you healthy. What? What? It's like, go run. I don't care if you don't like it or not, but it's really good for you. Well, you're not going to stay up with it because you don't like it. And I think we teach it in such a way that probably is problematic. No pain, no gain. Suck it up. You got to go through it. Feel the burn. I believe that that is good meaning, good well-meaning, but I think it does more damage than does do good. We should be focusing on this body, this bodily self. This body is a joy. And let's find activities that, yeah, it's not going to be easy, and you sort of take a lot of repetition. I got to go out and do this. But do it because of the joy of what you're doing. So you got to find an activity that you could find joy in it. And there are hundreds of thousands of things you can do. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but there's so much you can do. And communal things are always better than being by yourself, unless you're an individual who just, I'm one of those people. I enjoy being on the ice by myself. But I really do believe that we have, as a profession, woefully missed the mark. And I've not met many people who said, oh, I just love my PE class. I just loved it. I loved it the whole time I took it. Most people say they didn't like PE. I was one of those who loved it. I love PE. I love playing sports where I was aggressive and doing whatever. The kids I teach in the undergraduate level, they're all the same kids. They just love it, love the activity. But that's not everybody. And there's something about the way we're teaching things that we are missing the point. It has to do with life. If you're healthier, you're happier, if you're enjoying your movement, you're happier. If you can be like Karen Rickel, that my shoes are my friend and they beckon me to move. That is the key to everything. You can't wait to put your shoes on. You can't wait to get out of bed in the morning to do some meditation and go run. You will be a mover all of your life. You will do it. But if you get up and say, oh my gosh, I got to go to that gym. I can't imagine another day of this, but I got to do it. You will not continue on.
This has been a great conversation. I just have one more question for you. What do you most want people to take away about this discussion?
Sport has a wonderful quality to enable us to be better people all the way around. It can, in competitive activities taught in this correct way, young people can learn what's right and good and how to treat each other right and good and still be competitive. Right way is that you see your competitor as someone you work together with. The competitor is not someone to overcome. The competitor is someone to challenge you to be better than what you are. And you need your competitor to be there to be the best they can be so you can be the best or better than what you can be. That's that competitive side. The other side is this self within the relationship of movement. If there is joy in movement, it's going to better all of your life forever. And how you deal with people, how you look at the world, how you get out of bed in the morning, all of your life will be better because of movement in this bodily being. We are body subjects. We're not bodies. We're not just subjects or minds. We are bodily subjects. So this thing that we have been given to us is a real joy to work with and be within. And so those are the two things. Competition can be really good. It can be really good for kids if there's a value structure. Movement can be really good, positive, if there's a value structure. So it's all built in the same notion.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm glad you could make it.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This was fun.
Okay, Lee, what did you think about the conversation?
Oh my gosh, I love her. She made me so excited to exercise. Not run. She made me feel better about not liking running. I feel like I've been forgiven for that.
I agree.
Yeah. No, she made me really excited to exercise. And for me, that's actually very big right now. I had COVID over Christmas, and it destroyed my lungs. And I haven't been able to walk for more than... this week, I got up to 15 minutes each day. And we're recording this in mid-February. So I am a hiker. I'm a hiker, a walker. I've done like big, you know, not backpacking treks, but like hiking treks where you're hiking from hotel to hotel, inn to inn. And I really want to do that again. And so this made me excited to work towards that again and not look at it as like, you know, be angry about it or, you know, extremely frustrated. And I'm sure there will be days where I feel that. But, like, overall, just make me excited to work back up to that and have that goal. Yeah, she inspired me. That was wonderful.
The biggest thing I took away from that conversation is I really want to find my sport. Like, so I'm probably never going to get into running. And you're right, she made me feel okay about that. But now I want to find the sport that is my passion. And like you, I really like walking, but I've personally never gotten to the point where I'm as into it as Sharon is into a lot of things, but especially ice skating. And just everything we talked about, I want to get to that mental space where I experience the joy that comes from sports. And so I'm going to really try hard to find that.
That's awesome.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to The Vandal Theory. You can visit our website at uidaho.edu/vandaltheory for more about our research. Email us at vandaltheory@uidaho.edu. We're on all the podcast platforms, so rate and review and subscribe. I'm Danae Lenz.
And I'm Lee Cooper.
Thanks for joining us.